Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Great to be in Bible Hour with you. And I think we ought to just give the Lord an applause of praise and thanksgiving for his blessings and his mercy. Amen. How many has the Lord been good to you? How many has God been your protection, your help in the time of trouble, your peace that passes understanding? Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to teach a little bit today on the protective presence of God. The protective presence of God. Probably one of the most infamous passages in the book of Psalms is Psalm 91. And it's one of my all-time favorites. And so I'm going to go through it and quote it, and I'm going to break it down and encourage you with some fresh bread from this prophetic passage. The first verse says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." Yeah, if you won't, please don't show the scriptures. Yeah, I gave instructions. I'm sorry. Yeah, don't show the scriptures. I'm going to quote them. It's not as fun in faith building if you see them. You could check me later. Every now and then I may miss a word because I'm not quite as good as our Bible quizzers, but I'll try. If I misquote it, it's the nearly inspired version. But it starts out by saying, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." One of the first things that's very encouraging about that is the word dwelling, because what that speaks of is residency. So you're not treating God like a hotel. God doesn't want to just be a one-night stand. He doesn't want to just be, you know, a quick fix and then you move on to something else on a religious bucket list. But there's a sense of dwelling that's like a home. That's a permanent address. So if I'm living somewhere, where I live often determines what kind of liberty I have. Now, you live in America, and you and I enjoy civil liberties, we enjoy religious liberties, we enjoy democratic freedoms that most nations of the earth have not enjoyed. Now, many are becoming, or have become in years past, by the influence and help of America, have become democracies. And it's the reason why there's such a strong alliance from a political standpoint between Israel and America, because Israel strives to be a democracy. Their government is set up a little bit differently, but they do have a very strong democracy and fight for many of the same freedoms that we say we stand for, especially through our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. So we thank God for our liberties. Now, I'm not here to get into, in this particular session, you know, where America is going wrong. And, you know, I talked about the democracy of the damned a few weeks ago, and that's a subject I will probably revisit. But I want to hit it just from a more optimistic standpoint today, that where you dwell, where you live, where you reside speaks a lot to what kind of freedom you have, what kind of liberties you have. And the psalmist is determining here that if I live in the presence of God, he is starting right out by letting you know there is a protective presence of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is also an allusion, not illusion, but an allusion relating to the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies, and it was pictured or described as the place of the mercy seat, and that's where the wings of the cherubim touched, and they faced each other. That was the mercy seat. That's where the glory of God would come and sit. That's why the Ark of the Covenant is not an idol. It's not a graven image. It's a piece of furniture. It's literally a throne. When you go to the New Testament and you see the word propitiation, that word in the New Testament, which is speaking of a substitute sacrifice, the redemptive blood of the Lamb, that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That word propitiation goes back to the derivative or derived from the idea of the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. Isn't that awesome? That's what David is trying to relate. That's what he's trying to get across. He's trying to say, you serve a God that wants to protect you, put you under his wings. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now think about this. You've heard me teach this, but in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, right? So the devil has high places. He just doesn't have the highest place. The book said he's the Most High. God lives at a summit of sovereignty, a peak of perfection unknown by any other being. There is no other deity. That's why the scripture says in Isaiah 43, 1-1, think about it, it's 43 and 11, 43, 1-1, because there's one way to God. Because the scripture said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Isn't that exciting? He doesn't have any company in that realm of sovereignty. It's one throne. It's a singular sovereignty. That's exciting. When you dwell there, when you live there, there are some things that come with that. There are some benefits that accompany having an address in the presence of God. The second verse says that he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, verse 2, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now, what's powerful about that is there's three things mentioned here that's very powerful, and they are progressive. Number one, he's my refuge. That literally is shelter. So what that means is he's my hiding place from war. I don't have to battle when I'm in the refuge. Well, isn't that powerful? You can't always be in battle mode. You can't always be an intercessory prayer warrior. Sometimes you got to have communion with God. Sometimes you got to have restorative healing. Sometimes you got to have a hiding place where it's not about the fight. That's what Samson taught us after he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. He didn't walk around that with that in his hand the rest of his life. He didn't even make a holster for it that he could use it in future, you know. He didn't have a concealed carry license for a jawbone. He just used it one time, then he threw it down. Because it can't always be about the fight. When did the fountain come out of? When did the Bible say that he discovered water coming out of the hollow of that jawbone? When he threw it down, when he let it go. So it can't always be about the fight. Sometimes God wants to just be your refuge. Sometimes God needs to just breathe refreshing into us. Sometimes we have to have renewal. How can you be renewed if you're out there running full speed? You ever see these athletes? You ever see them, you know, sometimes a running back gets the ball handed off to him and he hits that sideline and he's running full speed and outruns everybody, every linebacker, every safety, every cornerback, all the coaches and fans that are running down the sideline with him. They can't keep up with him. And they had a picture, I think it was Bo Jackson back in the 1980s. He was running so fast he had to keep running and run right on into the tunnel. But a lot of times when they get through exerting that kind of energy, they go right over to the sideline and have to have an oxygen mask because they need some refreshing. They need some renewing. I want you to think of that when you think of he is my refuge. Sometimes I just need a place to shelter. I need to be in the presence of God to be sheltered. But I can't just stay there because he is my fortress. Now that's different. One is a hiding place. The fortress is a holding place because that is for defense. That is for battle. That's a stronghold. That's not just a shelter. It's a stronghold. It's going to withstand the attack of the enemy. the fortress or the forces of hell are going to come against you. But understand, the fortress of God resists the forces of hell. We bring down the strongholds of darkness, but you live in a fortress, in a stronghold of God that will never be defeated. It will never crumble. It will never come down. Isn't that exciting? So he's my shelter. He's a place of defense. He's my God. And that's just kind of like, well, you know, if you want to just name everything God is, he's just God. I mean, whatever you need him to be, he's God. He's got it all under control. And it's kind of like, you know, he's my refuge, he's my shelter, he's my fortress, he's a stronghold. But then he's just God. He just can do anything and everything. And he's everywhere. How do you top that? So in him I will trust. Because what that does is that builds confidence. When you know you have a place to shelter in the storm, when you know you have a stronghold that the enemy can't break through, that will defend you. These are strong defenses that no matter what attack you come under, no matter how many or how strong the forces of darkness come against you, it's going to stand. When you have that, it builds your confidence in him. Well, I put my trust. Now he's going to get into other stuff. Because not only is God at the highest place, not only does he have me in a hiding place if I need it, and he has me in a holding place, but God also, the Bible said that his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Isn't that powerful? Because now you have an honest place. God doesn't need human commentary. God doesn't need, he doesn't need the majority opinion. He doesn't have to get a vote from the people. He doesn't need to poll the congregation to see who's in favor of what. Because God is not a representative of the republic. He does not deem his decisions according to a democracy. He is the Almighty God. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Well, now I'm getting ahead of myself because verse 3 said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now we're getting into, you're going to face the attack of the enemy. And these are pandemics. These are poisonous things. It can be sickness. It can be ailment. Noisome literally means harmful or dangerous. So you see that word noisome. It's not about noise. You can say, well, that's noisome. What does that mean? It means ruinous or destructive or poisonous, something that's going to bring ruin or decay or destruction to something. And yet he's telling you because of where you live, he's going to deliver you from the traps the enemy sets for you. You're going to get out of the snare of the fowler, and you're going to escape the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's the honest place. Because if I have his truth, I don't worry about deception. I don't worry about syncretism, where there's a mixing of the truth with the lies of men, so it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. But I stand in that truth because it's a shield and a buckler. It's going to be protective. Friend, you don't have to worry about it at the end of the day. It really does come out in the end. If you stand for what is right, if you live righteously, if you stand for the truth, if you stand on the word of God, the Bible said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It doesn't matter who tries to misrepresent it. It doesn't matter who tries to misinterpret it. It doesn't matter who tries to miscalculate it. It is a word forever settled. It's not defined or redefined by man. It is defined eternally by God. That's why the psalmist said, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So not only is the truth a shield and buckler to me, and it gives me a defense, but it also gives me direction. I'm able to see where to go. I'm able to make righteous and pure and good decisions because I see the word of God. It's like walking out in the dark, got a flashlight. You don't walk down the path. You don't have anything that's lit. There's no street lamp. There's no other source of light. And so you take a torch or a lantern or a flashlight, and you walk. And that's what the psalmist is saying. The projection of that word, the light that radiates from that torch is what gives you the ability to see. Praise God. That's why when you read the end of the book, we know according to the projection of prophecy, according to what the future statements of the Word of God tells us, we are victorious. Every devil will be defeated. God's dominion will overcome. The dragon will be defeated. The beast and the Antichrist will be defeated. The false prophet is going to be defeated. All of the anti-Christian sentiments are going to be defeated. And right now, when you're going through it sometimes and you're in the furnace and you feel the heat of it and you're in the affliction, you can sometimes wonder if it's ever going to end. But because you have a lamp of the Word of God, you have the truth that is your shield and buckler. You're not going to give in to doubt. You're not going to run away in fear. You're not going to lose your spiritual bravery. You're going to keep your confidence and you're going to keep your courage because His truth is your shield and buckler. That's a powerful thing. And it speaks of also how you got to keep your guard up. And what's one of the things that helps to keep our guard up? It's telling the truth. It's being honest. It's having integrity. You can reveal character by doing what's right, but you can also reveal character by making right what you've done wrong. And sometimes those are the places that we learn and find our greatest perfecting. You tripped up. You made a mistake. You said something you shouldn't have said, looked at something you shouldn't have looked at, was a part of a conversation you shouldn't have been a part of, behaved in a way that was less than Christian, and on you can add to those things. You know, everybody's got a resume of failure. And the devil will hire you in his factory because he wants to put you on an assembly line to just keep producing those same failures. But His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And so if I tell the truth, if I'm honest with God, Hebrews 4 already tells us He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Everything is naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He already knows it anyway. You might as well confess it, not try to just conceal it. Because He's going to find it anyway. Numbers said, be sure your sin will find you out. I would rather Him know about it than I know He knows about it. Amen. Praise God. This is what heals judgmentalism and Phariseeism. Those people that are walking around always looking down on somebody else, finding the flaws of somebody else, that's pretty much a good sign that they're hiding something themselves. And they're projecting a fear of judgment on somebody else. So just be careful. Nobody is so spiritual and already, you know, you hear me say this every now and then, we haven't graduated valedictorians of Perfection University yet. It's the perfecting of the saints. Everybody in this room is susceptible to a wrong idea, a wrong thought, a moment of temptation. But the dividing line is His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And the buckler is like it covers the whole. You can have a shield that just covers, you know, the torso, but you have a buckler that can cover the whole body. I want truth to cover me from head to toe. My spiritual investments, my mental acuity, my physical well-being, my emotional well-being, I want all of that to be covered by His truth. That's why euphemisms aren't helping anybody. Redefining sin so it makes it sound better in some therapy session is not helping anybody. Well, you know, it's just a sickness. No, it's sin. Well, you know, that's just the way they were raised. No, it's sin. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter who it is. If you break a commandment, if you disobey the law of God, it's sin, it's iniquity, it's transgression. I might as well let the truth cover me by confessing that to Him. Praise God. If you've ever been in a time of being disillusioned or discouraged, you're walking around, you know, misty-minded and disoriented, probably not talking to anybody here, but just in case. Do you know it heals confusion? Because God is not the author of confusion. But He is the author and the finisher of our faith. But you know what heals it? Confession clears confusion. If I take the formula of 1 John and I confess to him my faults, if I confess to him my sins and deficiencies, he's faithful and just to forgive me. Because my advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, has already shed blood for me. He's already paid for my pardon. But he didn't just pay for my pardon, because some folks want to get pardoned so they can go right back out and do the same crime. He doesn't just pay for my pardon, he also pays for my perfecting so that I can grow in the grace of God. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Psalm 91 and 5. Listen, you're going to come under attack. And notice, it didn't even give a description of who was shooting the arrow. It's just an arrow flying. I mean, it almost sounds like it's random. Like, man, I was just walking down the street and I got hit with shrapnel. Where did that come from? Just shame hit you upside the head out of nowhere. Where did that explosion come from? It's an arrow that flies by day. Didn't even say who shot it at you. Didn't even show you what devil, what archer of hell was aiming right at you. You might not have been even the target. Wrong place, wrong time. Oh, wow. Who shot that at me? But there is a protectiveness of the presence of God that says, when you dwell in my presence, you don't have to be afraid of the terror by night. Amen. Or for the arrow that flieth by day. You're going to come under attack, but you'll still be standing because you have a stronghold in him that is sure. You have a shelter in him that is sure. You have a relationship with God that cannot fail. What is it in our world that people are struggling with the most? Would you say uncertainty? Because when there's uncertainty, Scripture even said men's hearts failing them for fear of what is to come. So we deal with anxieties. There's people constantly pushing the panic buttons in their life. The fears, the dread, the hopelessness. It's described even in senses of nihilism, where it's this sense of hopelessness. This is where you sometimes get all of this gothic-like literature. That's very dark and monolithic, and it's been brushed over with a brush of hopelessness and despair. And so you have then out of that culture a lot of suicidal tendencies and thoughts because there's so much hopelessness in a nihilistic society because they won't turn to God. That's the terror by night. Folks are afraid, they're stumbling, and they're reaching for something because there is an uncertainty. And even in a time of uncertainty, when it's dark, you're just looking for something to balance yourself. You don't even know whose arm you got a hold of. You're just reaching out, grabbing a hold of anybody, anything. You ever been walking and suddenly you start tripping down the stairs? You might not even know who that person is walking right beside you. But if they could somehow help balance you, you don't care if you knock them down. I mean, in that instinctive moment, you're just reaching out for something to hold on to. And that's why a lot of folks are settling for doctrines of devils and seducing spirits, because they're just looking for anything in the terrors of night and in the arrows of destruction in the day. They don't know who to trust. It's because they didn't start at verse 1, where you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You live in his house. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? Don't be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Think about that pestilence just walking around looking for somebody to make you sick. Just walking around in darkness. It's like, is that you, Mr. Flu? You just go ahead and go on in that direction. Is that you, Mr. Pneumonia? Is that you, Mr. COVID? It's a pestilence, just walking in darkness. But you're not out there. You're not living in that. 1 Peter 2 said he's called you out of darkness into what? Marvelous light. So you live in a different realm. We exist in a different dominion. You say, well, then what do we do when people get sick? Do we lose our faith? No. We understand that we're still dealing with a human dilemma, but we don't give an inch to the tempter, neither give place to the devil.
No better story told than how you walk along the road to that place.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.